This is Minnesota Reads on Northland Morning, and we are thrilled to welcome into the studios once again award-winning author and Northland gem, Margie Preuss. Good morning, Margie. Do you feel
Good
like
morning.
A gem this morning?
Yeah, thank you. That was very kind.
Your newest book is a companion to the Newbery Honor book, Heart of a Samurai. So it's not a sequel or a prequel, it's just
right.
a companion. What does that mean in this instance?
Well, it chronologically, it picks up where Heart of a Samurai leaves off, about 1853 Edo period Japan. But the main character of Heart of a Samurai, who is based on the real person, John Manjaro, the first Japanese person to come to America, he is a secondary character in The Bamboo Sword. And the main character is a young boy named Yoshi, who is a servant to a samurai and therefore is not allowed to carry swords. Yet he still longs to join the battle to repel the outsiders who are threatening the country at the beginning of this book.
Now, conventional wisdom, or they say a lot of things. They say, write what you know.
Yeah.
And yet, I, as I mentioned to you a minute ago, I said, you know, this book is set temporally and culturally and geographically worlds away from being a nice Scandinavian lady in 2015
Northern
in
Minnesota. Yes, I guess that is one of those things that I haven't paid a lot of attention to. And but I have to say that because of that, I have learned so much and been sort of immersed in a culture that, you know, few years ago I knew absolutely nothing about. But when I started learning about isolationist Japan and this period when the Americans first entered the forbidden waters of Edo Bay and demanded that Japan open its doors to the West, the history of that time and the relationship between the two countries is so fascinating to me that I really wanted to learn more. And I'll tell you what, if you write a book set in that time period, you learn a lot. You have to, because I felt like I had to do research about every other word. I'm really not kidding. Starting at the beginning, I would say, well, I don't know, would they wear that? Would they say that? Would they act like that? What would the landscape look like? It was every little detail that I felt I had to research.
Well, I'll just offer this, that some of my favorite authors, I think about Dan Brown in particular, all of his novels are different. And they each delve into a completely different area of arts and sciences. And either this man is a genius, or he had to completely research a completely different discipline in order to set the book in, you know, computer geek world or religious mystery world or, you know, whatever it might have been.
Right.
So I think some of my favorite authors like to really leap out of their comfort zones and go off into different directions and learn things.
Yeah, that's the if you like to do research, it is really fun. And actually, I love the fact that I have to do research because it saves me from writer's block. I mean, I never sit and think or feel that I'm lost in the sense that I have nothing to write, because I can always do research. And when I do, as soon as I do, I find something every time. You open a book, you start reading, and it's like, oh, that gives me an idea, or that would make a brilliant scene, or, you know, it'll give me answers and ideas and solutions every single time. So for me, research is kind of a companion to writing. I can't think how you would do it without.
Well, what a wonderful idea, because when you are feeling blocked and staring at the page, my thought would be, I'll go get some coffee and chocolate and worry about it later.
Well, I do that too.
Okay, I've got to ask you this, and this is the only question in this interview that you are allowed to say, no, I will not answer this. Everything else,
okay,
you've got to answer, because it's in the form you signed when you showed up. You say in the acknowledgments, there's lots of really, really interesting information at the end of the book. But you say in the acknowledgments, you thank someone named Miori Dejima who asked the question that set you off on this adventure.
Right.
What was the question?
Well, the Heart of the Samurai, my first book about Japan, I never expected that it would be embraced in Japan, but it was. And so it was translated into Japanese, and it has done very well there. And I went to Japan to promote the book. While I was there, I did an interview, not unlike this one, in which I was asked the question, what historical figure, Japanese figures, do American school children learn about? And that was a very difficult question to answer because, well, for one thing, I don't teach in the school, so I kind of hedged and said, well, I'm not really an expert. But, you know, I had to admit that I thought possibly only Emperor Hirohito, who is not exactly the shining heroic star that Japan might want
right.
to have others learning about. And there was a mortified silence, or gasp, I should
right.
say.
Right.
And that moment really, it just stuck with me. And it made me want to learn more about the very interesting people who were the founders of modern Japan. And these people were mostly young, mostly poor, and mostly masterless samurai who had learned and studied with Manjiro, the hero of my first book, Heart of a Samurai, who had lived in America for about 10 years before returning to isolationist Japan at peril of his life because Japanese citizens were not allowed to leave the country and come back in legally. But he went back. And he got back just before Commodore Perry showed up to demand that Japan open its doors to the West. He's the only person in all of Japan that had any knowledge of America, who could speak English, had any idea about how the country worked, or any idea about it at all. So he eventually becomes an advisor to the shogun, John Manjiro. But he's also made a teacher to young samurai, teaches them English, because it's apparent they're going to have to learn this language to be able to negotiate with the Americans. So he teaches them English, but he also teaches them what he knows about the democratic process and how the government of the United States works. And this was highly influential to these young samurai who went about transforming the country in great turmoil, and you know there was a lot of bloodshed over it. In fact, almost every single one of these young men dies young and not natural deaths because of their work. So it's a really interesting time, and I also kind of wanted to write this book because my first book, Heart of a Samurai, has samurai in the title, but there isn't really any samurai action in it. So so now I've written a book, The Bamboo Sword, that does not have samurai in the title, but there's lots of samurai action, as there was. I mean, there was a lot of swashbucklery and happening during this time period, a lot of intrigue, assassination attempts, spying, suspicion, jockeying for power. All of that is inherent in the actual history of the time period.
And it's right here in your book. Margie, we're out of time. I hate it when that happens. I have like 18 more questions that were going to elicit that shocked silence. And no, we don't have time. But thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me.
Margie Preuss, our guest this morning on Minnesota Reads. Her new book is a companion to the Newbery Honor book, Heart of a Samurai. It's called The Bamboo Sword. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.